This is episode number 99 with DJ Irie. Welcome to the School of Greatness. My name is Lewis Howes, former pro athlete turned lifestyle entrepreneur. And each week we bring you an inspiring person or message to help you discover how to unlock your inner greatness. Thanks for spending some time with me today. Now let the class begin. What is up, everyone? Thank you so much for joining me today on the School of Greatness. I am very excited about today's guest. His name is Mr. DJ Irie, and he is one of the most talented DJs in the world, but also one of the most passionate and considerate and loving individuals in the world as well. I was so fortunate to have him in the studio here in Los Angeles, and I'm so pumped to share with you his story and allow him to share his story because it's very inspiring and just a passionate, happy, driven, focused guy all around that anyone in business or sports or music can really learn from. So I'm so excited for you guys to learn and connect with DJ Irie. Make sure to follow this guy online. Check him out. He's the resident DJ of the Miami Heat. So if you're in the Florida area, go to a Miami game. You're going to see him there. He's also, you know, plays at some of the biggest venues all around the world that we're going to talk about here in this interview. So I'm very excited to bring him on here in just a second. Without further ado, let's go ahead and dive into this interview with the one and only DJ Irie. Here with DJ Irie. It's Irie. Ooh. Is that how I say it?
Who's that? What?
Is that how you say it?
You get it. You got it.
Because I've heard different people say different things.
No, like, listen, we'll keep it. We'll
I
keep
heard
it.
Wyclef say like, Irie or something.
No. Wyclef goes, Irie.
I was like, what?
And I only like to be called that sometimes, not every time, because right. It's a lot of effort. Yeah. So just Irie is fine.
Nice, man. Nice. Very, very excited to hang out with you today. You're running around the world. And you had like an hour window in between meetings in LA.
We made it happen.
And we made it happen. We've been connecting for a week back and forth every day. Our mutual friend, Ben Sterner. Big shout out to Ben.
The Sterner.
Who's a dear Mr. friend Leverage. Of mine. Yeah. We actually roomed together on the ship at Summit at Sea.
You guys were roomies?
We were roomies.
I'm jealous, man.
Yeah, we were roomies.
Oh, man. I didn't have a roomie.
Really?
Yeah, man. No one wanted to hang out with the DJ, man.
You had your own suite.
I had my own little suite that was kind of sweet, actually.
I imagine. With the ocean view. We were in the middle bunks. We were like in the middle. It was like,
I mean, I got to see something. Why not the ocean? You know? Like, I settled for it, you know? I'm not picky. I'll settle for the ocean.
Yeah. So just to give some context for people listening, DJ Irie, the first time I experienced him was 2010?
I think it was
2010. Gosh, Summit Series conference. We're in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean.
On the
way to the Bahamas.
Yep.
It's like the sun is setting. The laser lights are about to go off. And then all of a sudden you see this guy with this big guy with this huge smile. It's just like jumping up and down. And they're like, DJ Irie. And we're all in the middle of this ship, like on top of it. And it's the first time I heard about you.
Right.
And but everyone was like, oh, he's such a big DJ. You know, it's like, and you were just like spinning everything and playing all this awesome music, creating an extraordinary experience for everyone there.
Yeah, it was good, man.
And it's
the best good. Feeling actually was, obviously, we were there, what, 3 days was it?
Three days. But it felt like a month or something.
Yeah,
I don't know.
It did.
It's like,
it did, because there was something happening at all times.
It was amazing.
But it was the best experience. You know, for me, I mean, meeting all these amazing people.
Yeah.
And actually getting to spend time with them and converse, you know, and actually make a connection and build a rapport. But, you know, that show being one of the first shows, you know, everyone kind of knew who I was and the word kind of spread and everybody was like, yo, Irie, that show was awesome, man.
Right, right.
Like, you know, what's it going down again? You know, I'm like, tomorrow, let's do it.
Now, how'd you get connected in that scene originally?
You know what? I met at the time. The Summit Series guys were actually living in Miami.
That's right.
Right?
All so in one Elliot, big house.
Yeah, that's how they do, right? Actually, this is really cool. So a mutual friend, I think it was my man Robert Nan from Creative Rec,
uh-huh.
Right? And he connected us. He's like, you know what? My boys from Summit, you know, they're living in Miami. You're in Miami. You guys should definitely connect. You guys are all good
right.
people. And we connected. And like that first day, I happened to be in Miami that day. And Elliot was like, yo, come for dinner tonight. I'm like, I happen to be hungry tonight. That works, right?
You know, every night around 7 o'clock.
Dude, I get hungry every night. You know what I mean? Sometimes twice. So I went over, right? And it was like, 17 people there, you
it's
know,
nuts. Yeah,
everybody's
nuts.
Super cool. But then, so I mean, I'm going to guess, you know, we're going to go, you know, sit down, see what's everything and then eat. Right. They're like, let's bounce. I was like, so when you tell me let's bounce, it means we're leaving. Right. So I'm like, I just got here. Where are we going? He's like, no, literally let's bounce. They have this huge trampoline.
That's right.
In the backyard.
I've never seen pictures of this.
And you take off your shoes That's and hilarious. You got to bounce. Right.
Oh my God.
So I was like, all right, I guess I'm going to bounce. We're like jumping on the trampoline. Now I'm really hungry, you know? Yeah. But it was great, man. It was really great. And the wow. Spears really hit it off. And
they said you should come
like,
play.
Well, they came to like a couple of my shows in Miami. Miami. Yeah. I was playing like Mansion Live, whatever.
The clubs.
And they came to a couple of my shows and they're like, yo, we got an idea. Let's get you to a show on the ship. I was like, it works. Let's do it.
Wow. And that's how you met Ben and a bunch of other people.
Yeah, so many people.
Since that event supported your career? Have you got a lot of gigs from it?
Absolutely.
Or,
you know, yeah. You know what? Probably, I mean, a lot of cool things came out of it, but probably the one thing that's probably the coolest was, you know, I always wanted to play a big show for Google. Mm. This is one of the things I wanted to do, right? And I met a guy named Alex Abelin, right, at Summit. He was like Google's community affairs person based in New York, and we kept in touch. Like, we hung out when we were in Miami. I went to go see him at headquarters when I visited New York. And
the Google headquarters in New York.
In New York, yeah.
Not the main one.
Yeah, the one in New York, yeah. Which still is no.
It's big.
It's big.
Yeah, yeah,
it's a block.
It's amazing.
Yeah. It's a city block. Yeah, yeah. All right. It's not a joke. So I went
just
and had lunch over
Chelsea
there.
In Chelsea.
It's just, yeah.
North of mm-hmm. Meatpacking.
Right across from the Chelsea Market.
Yeah, yeah. It's a big building.
Huge building. Huge building. So went over there and had lunch with them, hung out. And then I actually told him, I was like, you know what? I'd love to do an event for Google one day. And probably like a couple weeks later, he's like, hey, man, I actually met the girl that's planning the holiday party.
Oh, my God.
And I told her about you. And she's like, try to get him. And I'm like, I'm gotten. And you know what? We did this huge, it was at, was it Capital or Bar? I forgot. One of those big, like, party halls in New York. I mean, it was like 5,000 people. Like,
wow, really?
It was Google. It was like all Google and like their like significant others, you know?
Sure.
And Eric Schmidt was there too. And it was, but you know what? It was just an awesome party. And I was like, I got to do it.
A bunch of tech nerds can dance, huh?
They were, listen, man, listen.
They can get down.
Listen, they can party just as hard as anybody else, man. I was like, respect, you know what I mean?
That's
hilarious. They wore me out, that's for sure.
Wow.
It was a lot of fun.
What's been the best gig you've ever done in your life?
That's so tough, but there's so many.
I'm sure every weekend's probably the best, right? But what's
every weekend is amazing.
What's one that just stands out that you're like, what? Like something like an out of a body experience that you've never felt before?
Okay, the one that probably really stands out that I'll never forget, just because I'm a music connoisseur,
sure.
I'm a music fan, sure. You know. That's what got me here. I'm just really, really passionate about music and passionate about the people behind music, you know, and the artists.
Yeah.
And so Jamie Foxx is a really good friend of mine, right? And we've done all kinds of amazing stuff and toured the world, all kinds of cool stuff. But he calls me up one day and he's like, yo, you got to get out to Malibu. We're going to do a birthday party for Robert.
He lives in Malibu, right?
So Jamie lives in Thousand Oaks.
Yeah, okay.
Right? So
I have a friend that used to live there. So
Not in Malibu, but they used to live in like the hills or whatever.
But
he's been living in like Thousand Oaks, like right outside of Calabasas for a couple of years now. And so he calls me, he's like, hey, we're doing a birthday party for Robert. So and you know me, like we're always cool, you know? So like I'm like, I'm supposed to know who Robert is. Right?
Like, who's Robert?
So I'm like, Robert Redford, like
Downey Jr.
I was like, yeah, I was Robert Downey Jr. But I'm in my mind, like, so I'm just playing it off, right? And he's like, yo, this is the date. You can get it open, right? And I'm like, I don't know what the heck's going on. I'm like, you know what? If you say we gotta be there, yeah, date's open, we're gonna make it happen, right? I'm like, God, date, please be open. So he's like, Susan's gonna email you, right? Uh-huh. So I'm like, heck is Susan, because I know Susan doesn't work for him. So anyway, I get an email like the next day from Susan Downey, right? And I'm like, okay, it's Robert Downey Jr., right? So and I'm a big fan. I think he's amazing, sure. Especially like, you know, what he's been through in his life and his career. And,
yeah.
You know, this is right after he did Iron Man as well, right? So
he's great, yeah.
Amazing, amazing. So fast forward, we put it all together. We do the party. He has this amazing estate in Malibu, mm-hmm. right? We're doing the party. It is the who's who. Like, thank God nothing happened there, because wow. if something happened, literally
Hollywood would shut down.
Like 75% of Hollywood would wow. be a wrap. You know what I mean? Everybody was there. It was just truly, truly amazing.
And you were the DJ.
And I'm rocking out.
Wow.
I'm rocking out. Jimmy performed that night as well. So I'm rocking out, I'm doing my thing. And I'm kind of looking out over the crowd and I see Sting.
Oh man.
Walking out to the dance floor. Right? So him and his girl come onto the floor. And I was literally just about to play this Roxanne remix.
Oh, no.
Like, this is just out of a movie, right? So I'm starting to mix it in.
How did it sound?
It was like, all you hear was this little over the beat, right? So you can tell it's coming, right?
Oh, man.
So I'm like, I'm looking at him. I'm like, just locked in, right? He's not looking at me, right? I'm being really weird and creepy. So, but I'm like, I know he's got to feel my eyes on him, right? So,
well, everyone's eyes are on him.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. So finally, he kind of looks up at me, and it's right before the first hook's about to drop, right?
Uh-huh.
And I look at him, I'm like giving him that look like, Sting, you with me, right? You don't know me, but you with me, right? And he kind of gives me like this nod.
No way.
We synced up. We're synced up.
He finally looks at you.
He looks at me, and he kind of gives me this nod. I throw the mic. But this time he's like, in the
no, you did
floor.
Not throw the mic.
It was a movie.
You threw the mic?
It was a movie. I throw the mic. He catches it.
No, he does not. One hand?
One hand.
Shut up.
Right on the first.
No, and sings it right.
Watch it.
Shut up.
Like, yeah. So the whole place erupts.
Oh my goodness.
Everyone thought it was rehearsed.
Shut up.
Everyone was like, wow, when did you guys get to practice that? I was like, never. Right? Everyone thought it was rehearsed. And I'm like, that just happened. Right? And it was 99% perfect till I screwed it up.
What'd you do?
Because he rocks it out. And so towards the end of the song. So then he throws the mic back at me perfectly.
Right to your hand.
Right. I was like, put my hand out. And it would land right.
Like hit you in the face.
You would think it was a hot potato right out of some boiling water, because I'm like fumbling. in it. It's still on. So everyone's like,
oh,
like,
man.
Right over the speakers, and it drops. Big old thought. Everyone looks at me like, really? You just couldn't just catch it and everything be perfect? I was like, yeah. Leave it to me to screw it all up.
Oh, man.
But that was an epic night, you know? And there's just so many amazing, you know, opportunities. And, you know, the thing about it is I went on this journey for music, you know, my passion for music. And next thing you know, you're seeing the world, you know, and you're meeting the most amazing people.
Can I imagine?
And, you know, sometimes at night I go back and because I have like a little studio at home, and I walk past the studio and there's these two turntables and a mixer. And I'm like, it's all you guys. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's where it starts and where it ends. Yeah. Where it ends. You know what I mean? It's pretty amazing.
I think I listened to an interview of yours where you talked about how you got into music, where you guys, your family would actually have a music room.
My family we didn't have a TV room.
You didn't have a TV. And so you'd go and you'd listen to, I think you said like Bob Marley you'd listen to,
Bob
and other
Marley,
people.
Peter Tosh, you know, the Wailers, Stevie Wonder, like all the Motown stuff. Yeah. And so I was like this young kid with kind of an old soul, you know, because especially like Saturdays and Sundays, my dad had these speakers that literally were from the ceiling to the floor. I mean, wow. This massive, you know, he was just this whole like sound freak, right?
Sure.
And the house would just be just full of music all day, Sunday, all day, Saturday,
wow.
You know, like on the weekends, all day. And it would just be pumping, you know, in my head to the point where I just loved it, you know? Yeah. And I get home from school and I'll just kind of sneak in there and go through the records that I liked, you know what I mean? And then I'll just put it on and just be like, dang, that bass line is going off, you know?
Sure, sure.
You know what I mean? Those lyrics are dope.
And did you play a lot of instruments growing up or sing, or were you just more
honestly
appreciated?
I had a love affair with turntable, the turntable and vinyl, you know, to the point where it was actually like an addiction. Like, you know, if a song came out, If I would just hear like a snippet of a song and I liked it, I had to find that vinyl. I had to own it.
Wow.
No matter what it took, I had to have it.
Mm.
So before I even graduated high school, you know, I already had like probably over 12,000 records.
Oh my gosh.
Right? I had stopped eating lunch I wouldn't
Couldn't afford it anymore.
I mean,
you're only buying records.
I had to buy records. So I hung out. I always made sure I hung out with, you know, some really cool and kind of paid friends, whatever. So I'll be like, hey, you can get another one of those? Yeah. Oh, yeah, I got you.
We'll get that slice of pizza. Yeah.
You can eat your cornbread. You know what I mean? And yeah, I would just literally, but you know what? They knew. They knew, like, man, this guy's buying records, man. Yeah. You know,
at least come better than drugs.
Yeah, a lot better, a lot better. It was legal, so it was all good. You
it
know
was
what I mean?
A type of drug, I guess.
It was, it was a drug for the soul. You know what I mean? But yeah, wow. And then just literally, you know, some other things happened in my life, and the whole, you know, DJ thing kind of came about. But it's all started from me having to, like, collect these records. I had to have them.
Now, you grew up in another country, right? Is that what I heard?
So I was born
on an island.
Well, I was born in the Virgin Islands, uh-huh. in St. Croix, right? Literally, I just kind of just popped out, was passing through for real. My parents, my entire family's from Jamaica, yeah. right? At the time, my mom was a nurse, and it was a much better opportunity because there was a shortage, in St. Croix.
Sure.
So, they picked up, you know, went over there, and then there was a better opportunity actually in California, and they're from St. Croix to California. California to Galveston, Texas, and then from Texas to Miami. All that happened within 2 years.
Whoa.
Because I was living in Miami by the time I was two.
Wow.
And then stayed in Miami a couple years up till about middle school. And then my parents were like, yeah, you're going to boarding school in Jamaica.
No way.
Yeah.
I went to boarding school.
Did you?
Yeah.
Where?
In St. Louis, Missouri. Not as exotic.
Same. St. Louis, Missouri, Mandeville, Jamaica, same.
But yeah. I went in eighth grade. I moved.
That was right about the time that I went.
Great experience for me.
Listen, my very first year, I thought my parents hated me. Mm. I thought they just wanted me gone and discarded.
Sure.
By the second year, it just really dawned on me how big of a sacrifice it was for them.
It's probably really expensive.
I mean, it was expensive. You know, I'm in another country. They have to be paying for all my food, to pay for all these different things. And the fact that their kid is away from them.
Yeah, they probably miss
you. You know what I
mean?
Yeah, of course. But it totally hit me. And I was like, wait a minute. I really have to make the most of this because my parents are really making a big sacrifice for me, you know? And I learned so much, you know, and it became just this great place for me that I didn't even want to leave.
Sure.
So the only reason we're here speaking right now, to be honest with you, is because of Hurricane Andrew.
Wow.
92. Hurricane Andrew. Huh. I was in Miami visiting because my parents basically threatened me because I didn't even want to come. I was like, you guys come down here. They're like, no, we have to work. Like, we want to see our kid. Like, come home for the summer. And I'm like, ah.
So they were living in Miami.
They were living in Miami.
In Jamaica.
I was in Mexico. So I'd come for holidays. So I'd come like Christmas.
How far is that flight?
Oh, it was like an hour and a half, 2 hours.
So it's not that bad.
Yeah, not bad at all. You know, and gotcha. I'll do it on my own. You know? And the hurricane hits and wipes out everything.
Jamaica or
in Miami?
Miami.
Yeah. So I was here visiting. I was in Miami visiting.
Uh-huh.
And the hurricane comes. Literally, everything was gone.
Wow.
Everything I owned, everything my parents owned.
Your house was gone.
The house was gone. We survived the hurricane by going in the cars and going in the garage and backing the car up to the garage door.
Wow.
I mean, I didn't even think that we would live through it. It was the scariest thing in my entire life.
Whoa. How long were you in the cars for?
Probably about 2.5-3 hours, because towards the end, what happened was we were in the house, and bit by bit, the roof was tearing away.
So you could see it.
I was in my room, like laying down, and I'm like, who turned the sprinkler on in the room?
Oh my gosh, really?
I'm getting wet. And I look up, I'm like, wait a minute, that's the moon. Wait a second, where's the roof?
Wow.
And so the roof was tearing away, and I went to my brother's room, roof's tearing away. I go to my parents' room, roof's tearing away. Gosh. And we jumped in the cars in the garage. And that's where we wrote it out. And then it was just unspeakable destruction, man. It was amazing. So, and I felt bad. I'm like, there's no way I'm going back to paradise. Because really, my situation in Jamaica was a really good one at that time.
Compared to...
Yeah, I mean, they just lost everything. And I was like, there's no way I can do that in good conscience.
So this was like a Christmas holiday break type of thing?
This was a summer.
Summer break. What year were you?
This is 92.
Well, I mean, what year in school?
Oh, so in Jamaica, it's a little different. Because they don't have grades. They go by forms.
Okay.
So I think I was in...
How old were you?
Probably 11th forms, which is the equivalent of like 10th grade. No, actually it's the equivalent of like 12th grade, really.
So you're like a senior.
Yeah.
Like
so I was 17 right there. So when I came 18. Back, I stayed and I did one more year. I did my senior year. And,
gotcha.
In Miami.
So you stayed for one more year there. And you didn't, oh, gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. So I didn't even go back.
Interesting. Okay.
I didn't go back to Jamaica. I just stayed.
So what impact did that have on your life afterwards.
I mean, it was, oh my gosh, man, that was a life changing experience. Wow. You know, I mean, I lost everything that was near and dear, everything material wise, you know, in terms of, you know, your memories and memorabilia, you know, and it was just, you know, to start over, you know, and seeing your family go through this, you know, we all moved to an apartment, like a single bedroom apartment, and it was four of us, you know, and it was just, it was, you know, at that time, more than anything else, it just really made me appreciate, you know, the simple things and appreciate your family, you know, because when you go through this as a family and as a unit and you get through it together, it really, I mean, you're already strong as a unit because, you know, I'm blessed with this great family. But it made us, you know, that much stronger, you know, and really everything else came second. It was like, keep your family strong, keep it together, and everything else comes second, you know.
And you guys still pretty strong today?
Oh, absolutely.
Wow.
Absolutely.
They're still in Miami? Absolutely.
They're actually in Jamaica. No way. We switched.
No, you're in Miami.
I'm in Miami.
Wow.
And they don't want to come visit now. They're like, come down here.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. We kind of switched. But no, I get on there and visit them all the time. They come up and visit me.
It's okay.
It's cool.
One of my favorite parts about my job is that I get the opportunity to travel a lot. And in fact, I'm recording this right now while I'm in Mexico. And actually, I was thinking about something that I wanted to share because I get a lot of questions from so many people about different side hustle ideas. So here's one for those of you out there that are on the go a lot like I am or traveling a lot. When you're staying in your Airbnb on your trips, have you ever thought about how you could be making extra money by hosting through Airbnb while your home is vacant? If you're interested in an extra stream of income, Airbnb hosting is an easy place to start, and it's like giving your home some company while you're away. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. So listen, we all know life is full of yada yada, like those quote unquote free trials that somehow still charge your card for something, or when companies have those sneaky gotchas hiding deep in the fine print. And I know you've dealt with yada yada before, like those bills that keep going up and up for no reason at all, or when budget airlines promise a cheap fare but then charge you for every little thing until you realize you're paying more than you would have somewhere else. And yes, it is possible to outsmart yada yada, like triple checking airline deals to make sure all you need is already included, but you don't take yada yada in life. So don't take yada yada from your wireless provider. Metro by T-Mobile has no contracts, no credit checks, no surprises, and nada yada yada. Stop by one of over 6,000 Metro stores nationwide. When you get a new car or a new home, your first reaction might be to say things like, oh yeah, or I can't believe it, or booyah. But what you really want to say is the one thing that can get you the help you need. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. State Farm is there with the coverage you need for your car, your home, and even boats, motorcycles, RVs, and other things that matter to you. With a State Farm agent, you know someone is there to help you choose the coverage you need. With so many coverage options, it feels good knowing you can find what fits for you. And when you need ways to get help, State Farm gives you options there too, in person or on the phone with your local agent, or on statefarm.com, where their award-winning app State Farm lets you do things your way. So when you need help protecting the things that matter most, remember to say, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
So after that experience, I guess, how did you get your first gig? You know, you're a senior, you're about to go either, did you go to college or did you?
Yeah. So actually I got my first gig as a senior in school.
Are you playing like on your home in your basement?
Yeah, I was. I had my little setup in my bedroom.
Yeah,
right. And let me tell you something, man. There was nobody better than me in my bedroom. I was rocking that thing nightly. Right? I mean, because you know what? It was just my little fantasy festival and fantasy club. So I made it to anything I wanted it to be, because I actually had, the way I had it set up, I had these, the turntables, the mixer. It was on my dresser, so I had the mirror. So I look into the mirror, but I wouldn't see myself. Oh. I would see people either going boo when I did a bad mix, you know?
Wow.
Or I'd do something really dope, and everyone's like, oh, man, that was awesome. I'm like, thanks, bro, you know?
So you actually visualized the crowd.
Yeah, man. It was like my own, you know, like fantasy studio, you know? And It was wild, because, you know, I just visualized myself doing all these like, you know, things, and I was just in my bedroom, you know.
Wow.
But what really, I don't know if you knew about this part. I've spoken about it in a couple of interviews before, but the way I got my very, very, very first gig outside of my bedroom.
Yeah. Besides your family coming.
Not even
that.
Paying
a ticket to come in the room.
No, they would come in the room and be like, yo, turn that crap off. You know what I mean?
Sure.
I'm like, don't you see this crowd over here? What are you talking about? So This is actually a pretty wild story. So there was a girl that went to
every
my high school.
Story it's, starts with a girl.
Yeah, and ends with
that's,
a girl.
That's how I got out here.
Are you serious?
I moved here from New York City for
Get
a girl, and
here.
It ended with that girl. Yeah,
starts and ends.
But
man.
It all worked out in the long run.
It all worked out. Yeah, kinda, I guess it kind of worked out for me too, man. Pow, put it right there, man. So this girl, I had a huge crush on her, right?
Yeah.
And my next door neighbor, who was my homie at the time, he knew, and he was friends with her. I didn't even know her, right? Uh-huh. But he was friends with her. He set me up one day, right? So they're hanging out at his place, uh-huh. right? I get home from school. I was usually the first one home from school. And you know me, first one home, yeah, you know, get home from school, like it all hangs out.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
I had my little He-Man underoos on, you know what I mean? That, some socks, that's it, you know, and a bowl of Fruit Loops, you know what I mean? I'm chilling, you know, getting ready to watch my cartoons and stuff. And ding dong, you know, I was at my door. I looked at the peephole. It's my neighbor, and he's with
the girl,
her, right?
That
like,
you liked.
Yeah. And I'm in my little underoos and socks. I'm like
Spider-Man underwear.
Yeah. I'm like, nobody's home. I'm like, darn, now they don't home. So I'm like, hold on. And I go and put some clothes on, and I open the door. I'm like, hi, what's going on? And he's like, yo, we're just over at my crib, just kind of chilling. We came over to come hang out with you a little bit, right? I'm like, okay. Cool. So like, you know, can we come in? I'm like, yeah. So they come inside, and we're talking for like 2 minutes. Mm. And my neighbor, he's like, oh my gosh, I gotta go.
No, he did not do that.
I forgot. I gotta do something for my mom.
Dipped out.
Leaves me alone with her. Right.
Well, it's either good or bad, right?
Now it's either good or bad. Now I just
that's
forget.
A great wingman when if I, you're well, ready for it.
But I had no idea. If you'd have prepared me.
Yeah.
Oh man, I had the candles lit. You know what I mean? An extra bowl of Fruit Loops. You know, I had it all set up. Right. The incense. So he leaves. I forget the English language. Right.
You're like, blah, 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 blah.
So, and she's like totally confident. She's like, so, you know, show me around the house. Right.
Right.
I'm like, oh, yeah, there's some stuff over there. There's some stuff over there. Some stuff back there. There's some stuff over there. You're good. So I wanted to do anything but show her my room because I had records everywhere. Like, I mean, records were literally everywhere.
In the bed, in the pillowcases.
That was part of the condition to me being able to buy the records that they weren't all over the house.
Wow.
As long as you're in your room, you can do whatever you want. Right. So, she insists to see my room. Fine. I'm like, oh my gosh, she's thinking I'm the biggest freaking geek because I'm a record collector, wow. right? She goes in, she sees all the records, her face lights up. She goes, oh, I didn't know you were a DJ. I love DJs.
No way.
My face lights
You're
up.
You're like, yeah.
I'm like, girl, duh. What do you think all the records are for?
I'm right?
right
now.
She's like, I'm like, just because you're not cool enough to come to my parties don't mean I don't do my thing, right? She's like, oh my gosh, how long have you been DJing? I'm like, a long time. You know? So anyway,
high school right now, right?
You're in high school. Yeah, it's like my senior year, right?
Yeah.
And this is towards the holidays now too, right? So this is like early December.
Sure.
And so she's just like, you know what? So now like everything flips. I have all the confidence now.
You're like, yeah, right? What's up, girl? Put your arm around her.
I'm like, if you're lucky, I'll invite you to a party one of these days, right? So before she leaves, right? So we have this, now everything is great. Like we're chilling, like, you know, the ice is broken, everything's all good. And so she's about to leave. And she goes, wait a minute, what are you doing for New Year's?
Ooh,
and I'm like, psh, what are you doing for New Year's? I'm gonna hang with you. She's like, oh, so you're not booked like a party or anything? I'm like, no, I don't usually do that early. You know what I mean?
Now that's like she the biggest goes, night of the year.
Yeah,
for
I'm like, oh, I don't do that early. That's what happens. She goes, great. I'm going to have my dad book you for our New Year's party.
Shut up.
Dead ass.
Wow.
Dead ass. Her name was Sarah,
She hadn't
way,
heard
right?
you play yet. Or
no, out. She just saw like I had a room full of records. We spoke about music and like,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, she felt
and,
it.
And yeah, you know, I had the right tunes.
Yeah,
you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay. I already put my foot in my mouth, right? So wow. I couldn't backtrack now. So she leaves and I probably stood stoic at that door for like a good 20 minutes.
Like, what did I just commit to?
What do I do now? You
yeah,
know what I mean?
Yeah.
Should I relocate? Like, should I have facial surgery? Like, what am I gonna do? Then I was like, you know what? Maybe I'll just do it.
Wow,
right?
Right, right.
And
you wanted to, right? Eventually, you
I mean,
thought about
I had,
doing
like,
it.
Just in my mine.
Right, right.
But in actuality.
But did you ever think about you wanted to be a DJ or
no?
You're just doing it for fun.
I was doing it for fun because in my mind, I was like, I can't be a DJ. Like,
really?
DJs are DJs, not me.
Right, right, like,
I just have some records. You know what I mean? Like, I can't be a DJ. So, yeah, next thing you know, I got up the courage. I was like, all right, the dad called.
Wow.
And he's like,
how much did he book you for?
He's like, how much you charge on that? I was like, I was like, I have a guy that talks all that stuff. I'll ask him. And he's like, okay. All right. You could tell he's like, man, this is weird, right?
Yeah, right.
So anyway, he's like, you know what? He was one of those like, whatever my daughter wants, we'll make it happen, right? So I ended up charging like $500 or something like that.
Which at the time you were rich.
And I was like, $500 maybe? You know? Like, I'm asking for a favor. And he's like, are you saying $500? I'm like, yeah, five. And he's like, all right, no problem, you know?
That's a steal for me.
Yeah. I was like, wow, I have like $500 now. So anyway, I didn't have the full set.
Uh-huh.
So, but I had friends that were DJs. Mm. So I borrowed a speaker here. It was new here, so everybody's working. Right?
Wow, of course.
So I ended up with like this Frankenstein of DJ sets because everything, there's no two brands the same,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But when you plugged everything in, sound came out. So I was like, all right, we're good.
There's
right?
A Sony speaker, a Samsung.
Yeah,
but,
man, it's Onkyo, Sanyo. Like, oh, it's crazy stuff. And we, my dad had a pickup truck. So he took me over there, right? And I remember we put him in front of the house and the dad came out and the dad was like, what's that? Because everything looked so terrible, right? And he goes, that's going in the house? I was like, if you want a party. It's like, all right, I guess.
Wow.
So now I'm doing this party.
Uh-huh.
So, but the thing is, I didn't know how to DJ. Ah. Meaning, you know, DJs, they scratch and they beat mix, right?
They interact.
And they do all that stuff. That's not what I did. I just played records in my room. So, but at least I had good records, right? So
sure.
I had good taste in music. So I'd play a song. Can you imagine Casey Kasem doing a nightclub? That's what it was. Okay? Because I'd play a song, all of the song.
Oh, man.
So I would fade out, and I'd be like, all right. That was a goodie. You think it's over? No, it's not, because here's another one.
You're like a radio jockey.
And I would just play the other song. And I remember one of the guests came up to me, and they were like, don't you do that stuff like that DJs do where they kind of like mix it all in and you kind of keep the flow going? And I was like, no, I don't do that.
Not my style.
I'm just going to play
some
songs.
I keep it old school, yeah.
And pray that I get out of here in one piece. That's about it, you know? But you know what? I don't know how or what. I mean, maybe it was because of, you know, Jose Cuervo and Johnny Walker and the rest of the homies. But people had a good time, man.
Wow.
To the tune of a week later, her dad calls back. Now, here's what I didn't realize. Her dad was the general manager of Planet Hollywood.
Oh.
Right? And they had one in Coconut Grove at the time.
Wow.
And it was kind of like a party scene because on the weekends, it'd get kind of crazy.
Sure.
And just without a DJ, it just had that vibe.
Yeah.
And he calls me. He goes, I'm not sure if he knows, but, you know, I manage the Planet Hollywood. And I have an idea. I want to start bringing you as a featured DJ on the weekends. And I was like, I mean, do what I did. At your house?
The janky system. And
I was like, I could probably do that again. I said, you can give me more money too? I was like, all right, let's do it. And that was actually my first like gig, you know?
So you had Planet Hollywood for like every weekend?
Every weekend. And
did you start to learn how to like mix it in and like you start to see what other DJs were doing?
Yeah. I mean, that's when I was like, wait a minute. If they're going
to
like, keep
I got to learn how to do this.
I need to like really get together. So I kind of, you know, started really working a lot more and getting my mixing down and all that kind of stuff.
Sure.
And my mom gave me hell because I was getting home at like 2:30 in the morning, you know?
And you're like 18, 19.
Yeah, man. I'm still, you know.
20 maybe.
Exactly. I'm still in school and stuff. And she was like, nah, this isn't going to work, you know?
Wow.
And
she's like, mom, I can pay for rent.
Yeah, right? Like, I could buy my own Jordans now. Are you good, right? And so she pressured me so much that I quit, you know, I stopped doing it. But at the same point in time, I had an offer from the local skating rink in my head to a DJ offer. So
but they close at like midnight.
And they're like, I was home a little bit earlier. So, yeah. And then, you know, graduated and went off to college, went to FIU. And that's a story in and of itself.
Florida International.
Yeah. Florida National University. And that was a story in of itself because not only, because my brother didn't go to college, right? He started working right after high school. And so for my parents, I was the first one that was going to go to class, and I got a full scholarship.
Wow. That's right? Great.
And my parents were like, all right, well, you're going to be a doctor or a lawyer. So you're a pick. But you can be anyone you want. Plus a doctor or a lawyer. You know, that's how Caribbean parents are,
wow,
man.
Wow.
And they were serious. And I was like, I guess I'll do more good as a doctor, I think.
So you couldn't say, I really like this DJ thing. Like,
oh, are you kidding me? That wasn't even, oh, no. Lewis, I said I had Caribbean parents, man. What are you kidding? So I get this scholarship. And I mean, my name's in the paper, the whole thing.
No way.
I mean, my mom is walking around with this thing like taped on her forehead. That's my son. You know what I mean? It was like their proudest moment.
Wow.
And my very first year, here's what happens, right? So remember, I'm doing the DJ thing. So I'm doing the skating rink on the side. But now the people at the skating rink are also going to the clubs. And they're like, yo, there's this guy that's like kind of killing it at the skating rink. You guys should have him at this club. And I started getting some opportunities at the clubs.
In Miami, right?
In Coconut Grove, though. Not in South Beach yet, right?
Okay.
So like the more of the college crowd, right? And I'm doing like the fraternity parties and sorority parties. And I'm kind of making a little name for myself to the point where in the middle of my first semester, I was doing like 6 nights a week.
Shut up.
Yeah, man.
And getting paid.
And getting paid.
6 nights a week?
6 nights a week, right? I bought a new car.
Wow.
Of course, I had rims on that thing.
Of course. Spinners back then.
Yeah, you know, I had it all. I had the big sound system. But the problem was I also had classes at like 8:25 in the morning.
And you're going to bed at like 4.
And I'm going to bed at like 4 if I'm even going to bed.
Oh, man.
If I get to class, I'm sitting in the back. I'm dozing off.
Yeah.
And my grades took a huge hit. Right. To the point where the first semester I lost my scholarship.
Ooh, because you got like a C average or something.
Yeah, exactly. D or whatever. I fell below the average I had to maintain.
Ooh.
Lost a scholarship. That
was academic scholarship.
Oh,
man.
Right.
Yeah.
It would have been the most devastating news my parents could ever
of course
get. Okay. So after it happens, it just a bolt of reality just hit me. And I was like, I need to figure this out. Right. And I got to figure this out without involving my parents. Right.
Yeah.
And
so they didn't know you lost the scholarship.
Well, yeah. The reason I didn't know is that I knew the process. I knew they sent a letter.
And you were like, get in that
every
mailbox.
Every single day.
Oh, my gosh.
I was there before the mailman pulled up.
Oh, my gosh.
I collected the mail, and it took about 4 or 5 days as I timed it out, and I intercepted the letter.
No way.
And that letter didn't even go into the house. I tore it up right.
You didn't even read it?
I opened it up, make sure it was
make
it.
Make sure that, like, you lost it.
It was it. Tore it up. And
wow.
We had a little gutter right there. And it went right down the gutter.
Oh, man.
And that was it. That was it. So then the next semester's coming around.
Uh-huh.
And I had to still go to school.
And it's like $10,000 and bills and coming
exactly,
in.
Books. Right? There's books.
Tuition.
There's fees. But guess what? I'm working.
You're making money now.
I'm making money. But I can't buy the new kicks anymore, and I can't do the stuff to the car. I literally took every penny that I had and paid. I still remember writing that first check for the tuition.
That's expensive, too.
Oh, my gosh.
You're like, that could have been a new car,
exactly,
Escalade.
I was like, man, all those hours, those late nights.
Oh.
I wrote that check, and I gave it to him, and that was a life-changing moment.
Wow.
Because I still worked. Actually, I worked more.
Uh-huh.
I worked more, right? I was doing all those late nights. But guess what? I was early to class.
Mm.
I sat in the front because I said, you know what? I can't let all this money go to waste.
No.
You know what I mean?
Of course.
I was asking every question that needed to be asked, right? I was staying after class and saying, okay, we got to do this again, professor.
Wow.
Because I got to get this. And my grades went right back up. And unfortunately, once you lose.
You can't get it back.
You couldn't get it back, right? And because I was already, you know, so deep into it, I can, you know, apply for the only I could think I got was like financial aid or whatever.
Sure.
And I was like, no, I'm just gonna do it. And I worked and I paid
3.5 years.
I did it all.
You paid for it
my
all.
My parents never knew.
Shut up.
They never
know
knew.
Now, obviously, right?
I told them a couple years ago.
Shut up.
And they were like, shut up. They were like, are you serious? Wow. And they didn't believe it, man. I was like, yo, that's exactly what happened. They were like, wow.
You
like,
never told them. Never I don't know how you keep that a secret.
Shoot. Very carefully.
Wow.
Man, listen, when you had the kind of whipping coming that I was going to get, trust me, you figure it out.
They would have kicked you out of the house. Who knows?
Oh, my God. They would disown me, man. Quick.
Oh, my goodness. Quick. But what a great lesson and experience for you to like, man, to be disciplined moving forward in the rest of your life with your business, your career.
And that was it. And that was it.
Wow. Know?
So that was actually one of the first major, major lessons that I actually put myself into.
Wow.
And I remember before you mentioned how Miami, that scene is such a big scene, so important. My dream at that time was to play a club on South Beach.
Right, because it's like the biggest clubs in the country or
really,
South Beach.
Really, when you look at the scene, right, this whole music thing and the Mecca, I mean, you're talking about like Vegas, you're talking about like Ibiza, and you have to talk about Miami. South Beach. You got to talk about Miami. Right,
because what's the big event there every year?
Winter Music Conference.
Yeah, Winter Music Conference. You know what I mean?
So it really is.
It's
we talk about
a staple,
a staple in a nightlife mecca, whatever. Miami is up there.
Wow.
Right, and so I was always on the outskirts. You know, I was downtown. I was in the Grove.
You hadn't made it yet.
Yeah, because any club that was a club, they're booking
Tiesto and
talent.
All these other people.
Yeah, back then it was. You know, no matter who it was just the best.
Right.
You know? And I was like, gosh, I want to play in the club on the beach one day, right?
Wow.
And I remember there was this promoter that actually used to work at the skating rink that now is like the kind of hot promoter.
Shut up.
On the beach, right? and he was like all like arrogant and all that because, you know, one of his underlings was a good friend of mine. He kept barking his ear like, come on, man, you got to give Harry a shot. He's ready for it, you know. And
this is after a few years of you practicing and honing in your craft.
Now, the boy was okay.
Good. He's like, I got some moves.
I mean, I could keep a wrecking holder room together, you know what I mean? It was, I'd put in a lot of work by this time,
sure,
you know.
Sure.
And I felt confident that I was ready, right?
You'd mastered the craft to that point,
I felt like I knew, you know, what to do to keep the party going and make people respond. And out of the blue, I'm actually at the skating rink. It's a Saturday night, right? And I remember that my homeboy's name was Daryl.
Still playing at the skating rink.
I just started my session. I did like two sessions on Saturday, right?
And now there's a crowd coming for you at the skating rink.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It was my thing. It was called like Irie Fridays. It was like my thing, right? And I remember Daryl running on the skating rink because you know how to walk on the rink, right? You have to have your skates on. And he's running, right? And the skate guard's like, hey, you, whatever. And he's just running. He's going against the traffic and he's getting over to me. And I'm like, what's going on? And he busts through the door. He's like, you got to DJ the club tonight.
Shut up.
I go, what? Right? He goes, I just spoke to Angel. The DJ that they had isn't coming.
Shut up. They need a replacement.
He's giving you the chance because you have to do it. And I'm there working, right? And it was probably like in 2 hours I need to be there, right?
When's your set? Is it going to be your set's over at like midnight and then you got to show up?
I was supposed to be playing. So I did my first session. I would have had to miss my second session, right? Thank God the manager, his name was Richard, cool dude. I just grabbed my phone. I said, hey, man, I have a shot to DJ in South Beach.
I got to go.
Like, he's like, who's going to do Irie Fridays? Like, do you have another Irie? I'm like, no, but can we work this out? He's like, get out of here, man.
Wow. He's like, we'll put some music on or whatever.
He's like, we'll figure this out. Just get out of here and get there on time.
Because you made him a bunch of money. You've been, you know,
he was just,
like
you know what? He was a cool dude. And he just saw something in me. He's like, man, this is a good opportunity.
Wow.
For you. You know, he didn't hold me back. He could have, you know?
Yeah, of course.
If you would have said, hey, man, you can't go, I would have stayed and did what I had to do, you know? But I went down there.
How nervous were you on the way over?
So nervous, man. And I didn't even have all of my records, right? Because I said the stuff I was using at the skating rink, not stuff I do at the club, right?
Different stuff.
But I just
not old school funky, like where you can dance it off of the skates, you know?
Look out weekend, because here I come, you know what I mean?
Electric slide, you know?
Yeah, I mean, all that little skating rink stuff. But you know what, though? I just kind of like worked it out.
Wow.
Made it happen. I had a friend there, I borrowed some of his records, and I just... It was an awesome party.
Wow.
It went off, man. It went off. And then at the end of the night, the promoter says, you know what? I'm starting a new party at a new club. And I'm going to have two rooms. I'm going to have a retro kind of 80s room, whatever. And I'm going to have like a hip-hop R&B room, right? He goes, I'm going to give you the hip-hop and R&B room.
Wow.
Right?
After that night, first night.
Yeah. But this was a smaller room, right? And he goes, but here's the deal. The room had no equipment, so no lights,
Shut
no
sound.
It was just four walls.
So you got to bring your own stuff.
I had to bring my own stuff. He's like, I'll pay you $200.
Oh, a night?
To perform from 10 p.m. to 5 a.m.
Wow.
I was like, absolutely.
And how much were you making at the skating rink?
Oh my gosh. First of all, between the skating and parties I was doing like in Coconut Grove and all that kind of stuff. Oh man, I was doing my best party. I was doing close to $1,000 a night without bringing
again,
any
equipment. Again, as a 22, 23 year old.
As a kid, are you kidding me?
Making money, baby. That's a good math right there.
I mean, it was, matter of fact, no, I wasn't. I was like 19, 20.
Wow.
You know what I mean? I wasn't even legal yet, right? So
$1,000 a night. That's
man. It was amazing. It was absolutely amazing. You know, so I was like, yeah, because he was like the hottest promoter, and it was a club on the beach. But now here's the problem: I had like turntables, but I didn't have speakers. I didn't have amps.
That's like $50,000, $20,000,
First of all,
whatever.
I didn't have the money to buy it. Right?
So
I didn't have
enough to buy every time.
So, but I had a friend that was a DJ, had all the equipment. But remember, it was a Saturday night.
He's booked.
He's usually booked, but he's like, you know what? I can just, I'll hook you up.
Wow.
He goes, give me $100.
Half of what you're making. Oh my God.
And I'm like, oh. I go, all right.
But it's your shot.
I got to do it. Boom, $100, right?
Wow.
He's like, you got to have lights too. You can't just have a dark room. I didn't have any lights at all. Found somebody with lights. He's like, man.
Give me $100.
Give me $100.
Wow. Okay.
So now I'm working my ass off for nothing.
Yeah.
Right? Still one more problem. How am I going to get it all there?
You need a truck.
I didn't have a truck. I had a car, right? I had a little cute Acura Integra, right? And
I had the rims, you know what I'm saying?
Sounded good. So I had a buddy that had like a little, he did pool cleaning. Uh-huh. So he had a pickup
van
truck
or something.
He had a little, he had a pickup that everything fit in. But he had to, his schedule, he would work early because Sunday mornings was like his peak time to do his thing, right? Yeah. So he's like, man, I'm going to have to start like, you know, a couple hours later now, and I'm going to lose some money. He's like, man, I'll still hook you up. Just give me $50.
Sure.
I paid $50 to work all night for a good probably 7 months.
7 months? I thought you were going to say like a month, and then he was like, okay, now we'll pay you some money.
Seven months. But you know what happened?
Wow.
What happened?
What a schmuck for not paying you.
7 months I did it for. Every single weekend.
Every Saturday night.
Every Saturday
night. It was like the hottest night, right?
It was the hottest night. But remember, it was the club had two rooms. It was a big room, big main room, right? Where, you know, that's the big money and the, you know,
and then it had a small room.
But it was one entrance to the club. So if you got through the ropes and you're in the club, then you're in the main room, right? And then you have to go through another entrance to get into my room, right? What happened in that 7 month time,
everyone was in the small room.
Everyone to the point where the room would be packed like in the first 45 minutes. And outside, that whole other part of the club was just people standing around waiting to get into that
room.
To the point where it only made sense to switch.
Of course.
Right? So what he did was, but he didn't want to like succumb to, wow, this guy ended up being
the man and bringing everyone in.
And he was like, you know what I'm going to do? I'll pay you like $250.
Oh my.
But just come in the main room and do like a 30-minute set during the other guy's stuff, right? So I was like, you know what? I said, you're done messed up now.
I'm never gonna leave.
I said, you know what? Now it's not in my hands anymore. It's gonna be the crowd, right? Because I would go and do my 30-minute set, and the place would go crazy, right?
And everyone would be in that room,
and then they would stop.
And then they move.
Well, no, I wouldn't. They closed that room.
Oh wow!
They closed the side room because it didn't make sense. It was like a hazard at that point in time because the only way someone would get in, somebody to go out to go to the bathroom, and then they're pissed off because they went to the bathroom quick, and then they can't get back in. So it was like a big problem over there. So they closed it, right? And I would do my little 30-minute set. People would go crazy because the whole music was changing at the time, right? The other guy would go back on, and people would be like, right?
They're not buying.
Not that the other guy was bad, but just the taste in music was changing. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, so, and I wouldn't leave. I would just sit inside and be like,
what? How you like me now?
Look, I was just giving that look. You know what I mean? And
and how much finally, was the other guy getting paid?
Oh, the other guy's probably making like $1,500.
Oh man,
he's making like $1,500 a night. And I remember, they did it for like 2 or 3 weeks. They tried that, right? And then like by like the fourth week, he came up to me and he's like, you know, I'm next week I'm just gonna like try something. And just like
See if like, this works.
Probably just have you play this room. But he tried to like kind of sneak it by, like, I'm going to just do your favorite. And I was like, nah.
I got some other gig.
I was like, you know what? And this time, you know, other people are already calling.
Right, of course.
Right? And I was like, nah. But you know what, though? I was extremely appreciative that he gave me a shot. And he's still one of my best friends today, yeah, right? Yeah. And but as a businessman, right, yeah, and as someone that need to establish, you know, a certain brand, a certain level, you know, I had to play some hardball. This is the time to play it.
And he messed up.
He messed up, right?
He,
you know,
he should have tried to find a win-win. And said, listen, you've been killing it. Like, I appreciate you.
Exactly.
Everyone's here because of you. Right. So what we want to do is we want to give you the big room and we're going to pay you quadruple. And
you know what? I would have totally just worked. Whatever you would have done at that point, I'd have been cool with.
Yeah,
you know?
Just acknowledging and being like, let's make a win-win.
It was like pulling nails, you know what I mean, for him to succumb to, wow, you know, this is the right thing to do.
And he's probably a 30 or 40 year old and you're 20.
He was, yeah. As a matter of fact, he was 32.
So he doesn't want to lose his ego. Right. Like,
and the music at that time was like, it was still like his taste. And I'm playing the stuff that
people want
to
hear.
The next younger generation wanted to hear, you know? And so he was just like, well, you know, we're gonna try. I was like, no, we're not going to try that. Wow. I said, you know what? This has been fun, but this is not really what I want to do. I'm going to look at some other opportunities. He's like, what do you mean? He's like, you got to work with us. Like, you started with us. You know what I mean? So he had the whole, like, I own you kind of syndrome. I was like, reality check.
I haven't been making squat for 7 months.
Yeah. I said, reality check. I said, listen, man, this is, you know, I earned my spot here, you know?
By paying for working for free.
And you know what? He called me the next day. And he apologized.
Wow, that's nice.
And he was just like, you know what? This is just a transition that I wasn't really like anticipating, whatever. And he ended up paying me like $2,500 or something like that. And
up front?
And just was like and rebranding the party like around me.
Wow.
And it was, we had like the sickest run ever, man.
Wow.
You know, I even said, you know what? This is my guy. Like, I put it out there that this is who I work with. Everybody wanted to do different things. And I said, you know what? This is who I work with. This is my guy.
Because he made it right.
He made it right. And I was just like, you know what? And at the end of the day, even though you did it for various reasons, you gave me that opportunity.
Yeah.
You know?
Wow.
And we're still like great friends today. But you know what? Like I said, people might look at me today and they'll see me doing a festival, doing, you know, GMA or whatever. And no one would ever think that, well, my first opportunity, real opportunity to DJ somewhere I wanted to DJ, I was paying $50, you know, and working all night, you know?
Yeah, but you saw the vision of like, okay, this is the hottest strip to work on in the country.
I knew what it could be.
And
listen, after that, it wasn't long before people were coming up to me at the end of the night and saying, hey, I have a club in Hamburg, Germany, and I have a club in Rio, Brazil.
People from all over the world come there.
Everybody comes to Miami.
They're like, dang, this kid is hot.
Yeah, you know what I mean? And now I'm like, because one of the things I was like, you know what? I remember when I started doing clubs, I was like, what if one day I can actually like take my music and go like on a plane or maybe a bus or something, I don't know, but go somewhere else than Miami and play music and kind of perform. That'd be so cool, right?
Yeah.
And I was on a plane going to Germany doing like a 6-city tour.
You know what I mean?
And I was like, what is happening right now? You know, like, you guys, I want to go there and play music, you know? Wow. I was like, all right, they can do this, you know?
Wow.
And that was wild. That blew my mind, man.
And now you go all over the world. Every week you're flying back and forth from another country, it seems like.
Get around quite a bit, you know, but it all stays in perspective, you know, when you have, you know, a start like that, you know, it's never far from your mind, you know.
What's the dream now? It seems like you've, you know, the dream then was to just get a gig and like say that you could like do some stuff.
You know what? Okay, here's what's kind of been crazy about my career, right? If I...
You've been doing this for about 15 years now, right? It's about 17 years of like DJing.
At least. You know what I mean? And all these different things have happened, you know, I mean, from the Miami Heat situation, you know, I mean,
You're still doing the Miami Heat?
I'm going on my 15th season. And that kind of happened.
15 seasons?
Yeah. My very first year DJing on the beach is when they called me.
Wow.
And I was like, what do you mean official DJ for the team? Like,
so you show up at every home game?
So yeah. So we, wow. I mean, it's crazy because it's like, you know, we're part of the fabric of the entertainment.
Wow. You
know
what
I mean?
You are like the entertainment.
I mean, it's really, I mean, I'm, you know, I'm sure, you know, some of you listening have been to a game. If not, please come because it's very entertaining, you know?
I'm sure it is.
And we're very friendly down there. It's all good. But it really is an experience, you know? But I mean, from that end, have three championship rings. Yeah. Like I can barely dribble a basketball, man. I have no
I just played today. I'm a big skills. Basketball fan.
Really? Yeah, yeah. You're better than me, just so you know, right? We've never played, but you're a lot better than me.
Are you sad that I'm from Ohio?
Oh, are you also? You're happy.
I'm very
you're happy, I'm sad. Great. All right, cool.
But I was sad for the last 3 years of this guy, yeah, or 4 years.
You know what, man? The whole you know, LeBron situation, I mean, do we wish that he stayed in Miami? Absolutely, of course. Yeah, yeah. I mean, hey, four straight trips to the NBA Finals, yielding two championships. Like, that's amazing. Yeah. You know what I mean? And I think, I think that chapter kind of ended prematurely. Mm. I think they had a lot more greatness to achieve, you know?
Sure.
But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, everyone's got to make a decision.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. So why do you continue to, you know, obviously now since LeBron's gone, why do you continue to come back?
I'm what's called, I feel like now, and don't get me wrong, it's a huge commitment. Seems to do
every
it.
Home game, right?
It's. I mean,
there's probably a few games you could be gone.
Obviously, you know, Super Bowl and Sundance, you know, all these places that have to be.
Yeah.
And they're extremely supportive and they work with me. You know what I mean?
Sure.
But it's still a huge, huge commitment.
Because you could get a big paying gig somewhere else. It's like $100,000.
This is true.
Where you're like, you know.
And I'm not making $100,000 at the games.
Yeah,
all right?
Yeah, I can imagine.
Don't get me wrong. For the situation and what it is, they do their best to take care of me.
Of course.
No question about it. You know what I mean? In various ways. You know what I mean? There are just a top of the top organization.
Sure.
You know, I love them for who they are and I love them for the opportunity that they've given me. Yeah. You know, and they have given
and
me
you, a huge you get exposure from being there.
100%. You know, I mean, listen, just the fact that I can wear three championship rings.
You got rings too?
I have three rings, man. That's
you
got like rings? DJ Irie
you
on should have
brought them.
No, they don't leave Miami, man.
I guess, you know, if you're entertaining them.
There are some dishonest people in this world, believe it or not.
That's true. That's pretty cool.
But yeah, I have three championship rings.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
And, that's awesome.
If that's not family, what is? You know what
that's
I mean? So,
cool.
But yeah, I'm what you call it. I'm a heat lifer. That's our term for it. You know what I mean? And it's not about, you know, this player or that player.
Yeah.
It's about this organization, this team.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? And it runs really, really deep for me. It really does.
That's
you know?
Cool. So you're gonna keep coming back for as long as you can.
So
huh?
Yeah, but I mean, obviously, you know, in life there are transitions.
Always.
You know what I mean? And there's different chapters, you know. So I, you know, to say I'm gonna be there the rest of my life and definitely is probably a far
sure,
far tale.
Sure.
But I do make a very large concerted effort, you know what I mean, to be there as much as I can.
Yeah.
I think especially this particular year and this season coming up, it's important.
Yeah,
you know, to
they're
be
gonna
there.
Need you.
You know, I mean,
need
hey,
some entertainment.
We're
all those losses.
Listen, there's been some changes, but there's also a lot that's still in place.
Of course,
at least I can be counted as something that's still in place.
That's great.
You know?
Nice, very nice.
So that's important to me.
Interesting. So, and you know, what's the dream moving forward then? Because you've done a lot of great.
Yeah.
Things.
Oh, so I was saying. So here's the thing. So do I have, you know, dreams and aspirations in the next chapter? Absolutely. But you know what's funny? A lot of people, you know, say like, what's the plan? I made it a point to not plan.
Mm.
And here's why. And this is for me. Okay. And this might apply to other, particular careers, you know, and other, you know, disciplines. But here's the thing with me, right? If I would have plotted a course for myself, let's go back 10 years. If I'd have plotted a course for myself, right? That course probably could, you know, incorporate a lot of different things. There's no way that course would have official DJ of the Miami Heat. There's no way that course would have had DJing on Good Morning America. There's no way that
FIFA
course would
World
have
Cup.
Had doing the World Cup. There's no way it would have had all these amazing things that have happened, you know, in my life,
sure.
Right? And it could have been a really cool course still, right? But I kind of feel like if I did set a course and destination for myself, I probably would have been setting myself up for something else and not those opportunities, right? So what I did was a little bit different, right? What I did was I kind of did the self-assessment. And I said, there's one thing, but there's a couple things that are very consistent. And that is anything that I do, and any performance that I do it to the best of my ability, right?
Every performance, no matter where it is, from the skating rink to the World Cup.
No matter what it is, yeah. Right? If it's three people in a club or 5,000 people, I'm going to give them the best show possible, right? And I'm going to stay consistent as possible, right? I'm going to take the best care of my clients and partners as possible, right? And maintain the best relationship as possible. And I'm going to try to do all these things at a very, very high level. Yeah. And what I understood was if you do these things consistently at a high level, the right opportunities, the right people, the right whatever, will take notice of that, right? Because, you know, hard work never goes unrewarded, right? And if I'm working, keep myself in the circles, right, of people and of opportunities that I want to be around, it's going to create that positive energy and opportunities will present themselves.
Yeah.
Right. I truly believe that. Right. So I focused on keeping those things positive. And the next thing you know,
every moment,
next thing you know, I'm playing at the finals at the World Cup.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I could never have set that as a goal. You know what I mean? How do you do that? Give me the president of FIFA's number. He's got to have me, you know?
Right.
How do you do that, you know?
But when you're consistently working hard and creating a great experience, people are going to come to you.
You know what? Because it's attractive. Like, who doesn't want to work with that? You know what I mean? Yeah. I want to work with that. You know what I mean? Like, when I have the opportunity to, you know, hire talent to be around, that's what I look
of
for.
Course,
you know what I mean? And there's so many people that I have some amazing people that are kind of based in Miami that have amazing opportunities now in of themselves that, you know what, I noticed them and I was able to put them in an opportunity that really changed their life.
Of course.
You know what I mean? And a lot of times they tell me, hey, you know what, like I see how you do your thing and I see you operate and like that's for me. You know what I mean?
Who did you look up to that was this way? When you were kind of growing in the business that you're like, okay, I need to set this standard because that's what, you know, how did you know to do this, what you're doing now?
You know what? Not to sound narcissist or whatever, but a lot of it was intrinsic.
Yeah.
I would probably say, and this is true, I probably had more examples of what not to do.
Sure.
Than what to do.
So you're like, I'm just not going to do those things.
And it was more motivating because you know what, especially as a DJ, there was such a negative connotation of being a DJ in the corporate world, right? Like back, I mean, it's definitely changed quite a bit now. Yeah, but at that time, if you went to a CEO of a major, you know, brand or whatever, and probably or VP of marketing, whatever, and you say, "Hey, what's your opinion on a DJ?" They'll just be like, "Oh, just probably somebody that you know drinks all night and stays up all night, you know, maybe can sleep all day."
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Hooks up with women,
and yeah. Definitely not the most responsible, you know, hardworking person in the world. You know what I mean?
Right.
And it takes you, a lot of DJs are like that, right? I know a lot of them, right? And, you know, those are kind of examples that I said, that's not what I want to do.
You want to build a brand and a business.
Exactly. So you know what? So my examples really came from not so much, you know, other DJs. I mean, musically I was inspired by the DJs, right? But in terms of thinking as a brand and as a business, you know, I looked, you know, to entrepreneurs, you know, and I looked up to other business luminaries.
Who were some
and CEOs?
If you haven't even stood out.
You guys might think I'm totally weird.
My audience won't think that. Don't worry.
All right. Jamie Dimon.
Okay.
I think he's absolutely amazing. You know, Scott McNeely, Larry Ellison. Wow. Who else? Wayne Huizenga. So many, you know, you know, guys really like, you know, trailblazers, you know what I mean? And there's so many more, you know?
Sure.
You know, I mean, I was, if you caught me on a plane, I was reading Fortune and Forbes, you know what I mean? Like all the time,
great.
You know what I mean? Entrepreneur or whatever, you know what I mean? And it didn't take long for me to really change my trajectory. And
we're going to get you on entrepreneur.com, just FYI.
Oh, I'm down. No problem.
This gets syndicated on entrepreneur.com.
Are you serious?
Yeah, so this episode will be out there.
Big shout out to all the entrepreneurs. you know, it didn't take long for me to really kind of change my trajectory and reassess what I was doing from a business perspective, right? And it was a drastic change because one of the first things I did at this particular time in my life, I was doing what's called residencies. right?
Yes.
But home residency. So I was playing at Club A every Monday, Club B every Tuesday, C every... And
then you pay a flat rate every time.
Yeah. So it was great because I can go and financially plan and say, okay, I'm going to do X amount of revenue for the month.
You knew. Yeah.
You knew, you know, because I'm going to work this many days, whatever. And so that part was great. It brought you a certain level of comfort, right? But that's not how you build a brand, especially in entertainment, because there's nothing really special about that. Because especially for the folks in Miami, hey, if they didn't catch you, we'll go tomorrow, whatever, you know, we'll tease around. you know what I mean? It's not an event. It's just something that's kind of happening, right? And the first thing I said is, you know what? Anytime I perform, it needs to be an event. You know, it needs to be something that people are going to put on their calendar and they're going to
show
know, make
up.
A point. You know what I mean?
They're going to miss out.
To be a part of it. Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? FOMO, major FOMO. So I started calling all the promoters and club and say, hey, listen, nothing, no disrespect, nothing against you personally, whatever, but I'm not going to do this anymore.
Wow.
You know? And I got tons of backlash, you know, but it was one of the toughest and one of the best decisions I ever made, you know.
Because did you start seeing other people doing that as well, like some of the bigger names who were
not in Miami? No one else, I was probably one of the first ones to really take that dive.
But in the world,
I would see other guys that are building brands,
and you were like,
and
oh,
they're doing,
that's how they do it,
exactly. You know, they're doing
show, you're reverse engineering their success,
exactly. Exactly. You know what I mean? I was like, you know what, I need to be doing a show once a month in New York, or once a month in Vegas, different places, you know what I mean, and really spreading the brand.
Interesting.
You know? And so that was the first thing I did. You can't do that if you're stuck, you know, in one place all the time, you know.
Wow, interesting.
So
when was
the very
this?
First thing. This was probably like 2000, maybe 2000. Five.
Okay. Wow. Almost,
you know,
10
like,
years ago.
Like 4 or 5. You know, that was the first major move. You know.
Interesting.
And then other things started, you know, falling in place. And you know, it's as a talent, it's commonplace for a talent to have an agent and a manager. So it's just a manager.
Yeah, yeah.
But a lot of times, if you're at that level, you have an agent and a manager, right? Mm-hmm. And your agent,
manager's managing your day to day.
Yeah.
Your agent's shopping you
exactly and booking you,
promoting
and getting,
you.
So I had an agent, right? And my agent's job was to book my club appearances, my shows, right? But then there's this whole other part, you know, the whole managerial side of things. Mm. And I was like, I can't have a manager. And I'm also not going to be quote unquote self-managed, right? That's a whole other part. Anyway, but I was like, you know, what structure, what is the right structure, right? And it really hit me because of all these other guys I was looking up to and how things happen in corporate America, right? And I was like, a corporate structure, right? Because at this time, this is when we first started doing some of our brand partnerships.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? So like our legacy brand is a company called Premier Beverage. Mm-hmm. They're a distributor. They operate in a bunch of different states, but they're huge in Florida. Like their portfolio includes, you know, Red Bull, all the Bacardi brands, all the Brown-Forman brands, et cetera, you know, huge, right? So they were the first ones to actually do a formal brand ambassadorship. You know,
and what does that mean, that type of partnership?
So that part, basically what we do is not only do I personally, you know, endorse their portfolio and their products, but it goes beyond that. And we find unique opportunities for partnership and exposure, you know, for their brands. You know, perfect example.
At your events, they would put signage up.
Yeah. So for instance, if a lot of times we're the first, it's either the venue and the DJ, the first thing people try to secure, then everything else kind of comes together.
Right.
So for instance, so we know about the big events that are coming up because we'll be a part of it, right?
Yeah.
And we have that connection with the promoter, right? Mm. So what we'll do for them.
So let's activate this new brand or this new product.
So we actually have a thing that we do where they're called activations, right? And what we'll do is we'll say, hey, you know what? Instead of paying us our, you know, $100,000 fee, you know what, we're going to do the show for 80 grand, right? But you're going to let us bring in our spirit partner and activate. And that partner could be Stoli or Goose, or whatever, right?
And they're going to give away free samples and have people.
And by the way, if Goose would have approached them directly and said, hey, listen, we want to do an activation.
It's 100 grand for them.
It's 100 grand off the top.
Off the top, yeah.
Right off the top. So
you can partner with them and say, hey, give us 70 grand
us.
Or whatever.
So we already have we have a long-term deal, right?
Right.
And it's amazing. You know what I mean? So now, so it's huge value,
big
you know,
value
on their
the
part.
Brand.
You know what I mean? And there's a bunch of other things that we do, but the one of the biggest things is access. You know what I mean?
Of course.
So that's, and there's, I mean, today, I mean, we have probably about 14 different partnerships.
Wow, that's awesome.
But we work with probably about 40 brands in different capacities.
Amazing.
Right? Some of the things don't even involve me at all.
That's great.
It's just some of the services we provide. But now going back to that structure, right? When I fully realized the potential of that particular partnership, uh-huh. right? I was like, you know what? They can't speak to a manager, but they should be speaking to the vice president of business development, right?
For your brand.
For our array of services.
Yeah, because the DJ Irie.
Because DJ Irie is just a cog in this system.
Yes.
It's bigger than DJ Irie,
yes.
right? DJ Irie definitely brings lots of tech because he has access here mm-hmm. or there and he has these different resources. But
credibility
this particular yeah. team carries an amazing set of skills,
yes.
right? And we're able to communicate those skills because not talking to a manager. Right. You're not talking to a manager. And the manager's like, oh, yeah. No, the manager's job is to talk about their artist,
yeah.
right? And so if I had a manager having that conversation, the manager would say, and no disrespect to managers. Managers sure. are great, right? Yeah, yeah. But just my particular vision was a different yeah. vision. You know, a manager would say, hey, let's lock in Irie for 10 shows. And he'll do 5 appearances and he'll make you a mix. Sweet. All right, good.
Right.
Well, hey, you know what? We can do that any day of the week, right?
Sure.
There's a lot of other needs as a company that this company has that we can actually fulfill, right? But it takes a different person to have that conversation. So yeah. now our vice president of business development, they have a conversation about the entire entree of services, right? Give you a perfect example. Cadillac is one of our partners, yeah. right? They're great.
I've got a Cadillac.
Do you really?
1991 Cadillac Eldorado.
Look at you.
Eldorado Barites. Yeah.
They only
made 16,000 of them.
Are you serious?
And it's got 50,000 miles on it from 1991.
You're not riding dirty though, are you?
No.
No, that's
great,
dope, man.
Great seat. I do the big seats, man, because I'm a big guy.
There you go.
I had a Prius when I moved to LA, and it was so small.
Switch that up, man.
I was like, I need to relax.
You went from one spectrum to the other, yeah. man. Good Lord.
Yeah.
That's awesome, man. Yeah. But you know, with Cadillac, they were doing. They had the unveiling of the new Escalade, the 2015 uh-huh. Escalade.
Yeah.
So this is going back last October, November, right?
Sure.
They wanted to do the event early December, and they wanted to book me to host the event.
Right.
That was their intention of picking up the phone.
Right. Right. And you were like, wait a minute.
Well, once I understood what the nature of the event was uh-huh. and the fact that was one of the first phone calls that they made. They knew that the event was going to happen and they're just starting to get together. I immediately had them speak to our vice president of business development, right? Uh-huh. Her name's Lacey. She's just amazing, amazing talent.
Sure.
She just gets it. And by the end of the phone call, we had secured the contract to produce the entire event.
Wow. So it's much more than you just showing up and playing and getting a fee. It's
as
the entire
fact,
event with brands and sponsors.
Well,
and,
so give you the big picture now, because synergy is a big thing for us,
sure.
right? So one of the interests that we have business is actually an exotic car rental company.
Uh-huh.
And we did things a little bit differently, that we actually have a showroom
yeah.
for the fleet. And it's not your average showroom. We have like artwork,
yeah.
you know what I mean? And it's
high
very,
end. It's
very,
nice.
Very attractive place,
yeah.
but it's great for events as
sure.
well.
Ooh, so
right?
you have it there.
So we had it there.
So you're also promoting your stuff.
Yeah. So
oh
we had
my
it
gosh.
There, right? We had it there. Guess who provided the cocktails?
Your brand.
Premier Beverage,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
right? And at
yeah,
the time, we had a partnership with,
wow.
with Heineken as well.
So you're getting paid for
Heineken. Well, you know what? It was it's the synergy,
of course.
Right? So first
yeah.
and foremost, we bring in our partners, right? And we really try to make it an all-encompassing type
yeah.
of experience, right?
Yeah.
It's a different, totally different experience when working with your partners because, you know, you have a rapport with them,
mm-hmm.
right? So
mm-hmm.
you're getting things done really quick and,
right.
and really great, you know? And the event just was, it was amazing. It was absolutely amazing. I still hosted, right?
Yeah.
I still hosted the event. but now we got that credential as, hey, we produced this huge unveiling, you
wow.
know what I mean, for Cadillac. But that never would have been an opportunity
sure.
if they would have spoke to my manager. My manager said, okay, hey, well, listen, yeah, well, I will do it this time, but can we do the one for the next car too?
Yeah,
you know
right,
what I mean?
Right.
Like, oh, hey, like, oh, big win. We're hosting twice. You know what I mean? So, I mean, but listen, some people, that's their thing. But I just, sure. my thing is, I just kind of see a much bigger, you know, opportunity. Yeah. And we have those skill sets because we've been around for so long. I know the right people. Yeah. You know what I mean? We have all the resources. Why shouldn't we be, you know what I mean, retaining that business?
Of course.
And we know we can execute at a very high level. You know what I mean?
Right.
Why wouldn't we? You know what I mean? So that's really the approach that we take. And today we're doing, I mean, all kinds of things for our partners. Mm. You know what I mean? You know, from digital marketing, you know what I mean? Yeah. To like event production, you know, you name it, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And it's because I changed the trajectory and I changed that vision, you know?
Right.
I mean, what good is it to have an amazing relationship, you know, with the VP of marketing or with the CEO of an amazing company, and they want to do things with you,
right.
And you're just going to limit it to just this one little, you know, niche, you know what I mean?
Sure.
When you can really kind of, you know, spread your wings and bring in people with different talents, of you know course. What I mean, skill sets, and be more of an asset to them.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
And
that's awesome.
That's what we did.
That's so cool. I have so many other more questions I want to ask you, and there's so many things I want to ask you after this about business and just, you know, what you're up to, because I think it's fascinating what you've created.
Whatever you want, man.
So hopefully we can connect more. Maybe you know, I'll come to some shows if I'm in Miami or Vegas. Where's your residency in Vegas again?
It's at Dre's.
Dre's, okay.
So it just opened in Labor Day weekend.
Okay.
Memorial weekend.
Okay.
It is the most beautiful nightclub.
Really?
In the world.
And it's a sick.
The most beautiful nightclub in the world. If you haven't been there, go online, look up Dre's Nightclub and Beach Club.
Okay.
It's at the Cromwell. It's right, it's on the strip, like right across from Bellagio and Caesars.
Okay. Sweet.
Like 5,000 person capacity.
It's wow.
Absolutely.
When do you
I play the club, the nightclub on Thursdays. Uh-huh. So twice a month on Thursdays.
Okay.
And then during pool season, which it's pool season's ending
now.
But next pool season, we'll also be playing the pool.
Wow.
Doing the pool parties there.
Is that Saturdays or?
And that's Friday afternoons.
Friday afternoons. Okay, cool. So Thursday, so you can just go to your website and find out when you're.
Yeah, so yeah.
So DJ Irie.
I'll there. DJ.com.
.com,
you know, yeah. Or on our Facebook or
and, whatever it's all there. So I've got two more questions for the show, and then hopefully we can connect some other time.
No worries.
But you know, I could talk to you for like hours because this stuff's fascinating to me.
Man, yeah, you were really easy to talk to, man. No wonder you do this, man. Man, good Lord. This is like, I was like, and then when I was five, my mama said.
Yeah. Well, there's so many more questions that I'm fascinated. You know, my brother, Christian, he's the number one jazz violinist in the world.
What?
He played with Les Paul for 10 years in New York City.
He's goodness.
Played all over the world. You know, he goes on tour 200 days a year.
In the family, man.
I learned how to play guitar because I felt so ignorant that I couldn't play an instrument. So when I was 18, I picked up the guitar. I was like, I'm learning some Bob Marley.
Well, the turntable is an instrument. I play that.
Right? So it's just, I'm fascinated by music. I really appreciate the art, the creativity.
Oh, yeah.
You know, even though you're not a, let's say, musician, you're really creative.
No, absolutely.
The whole process of it. The whole thing is an
absolutely.
Art.
Absolutely. It really
show.
Is. It
and
really
it's not
is.
Easy, so I can really appreciate
100%
captivating an audience, keeping them engaged, understanding the energy of the room and knowing how to turn it up.
It's what a lot of moving parts, say, man. Yeah.
What to, you know, put on the music, the lights.
Timing,
like,
everything, yeah. It's all an in sync, you know, performance. You know what I mean? And it's really got to come natural.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, and this is,
it's got to exude from you.
Years and years of hours and dedication of you and learning and
more
practicing.
Than a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. So I definitely appreciate that. I want two final questions.
Mm-hmm.
One is, what are you most grateful for recently?
I'm grateful for so much, but recently, and if you think that maybe something else, but for me, I was able to have a dream kind of materialize recently.
Hmm.
I started my own foundation 2 years ago.
What is that?
It's called the Irie Foundation.
Okay.
Our focus is at-risk youth, like the middle school level. Right. And we're starting in our hometown in South Florida and kind of, you know, working on there first and kind of spreading our outreach, you know,
sure.
from there. And I wanted to build a music and literacy facility, right?
Huh.
I spend a lot of time in different schools, like literally like with the kids and speaking to the kids, do a lot with Teach for America. And I've been teacher for a day so many times. And I get to, you know, speak to them firsthand and hear about, you know, their dreams and aspirations
sure.
and things that, you know, they wish they had access to, but they don't, you know, and really after school is a major issue, because, you know, a lot of the kids, especially in the inner cities, they don't have many options, right? And even though they want to do well, right, and they want to continue learning and be able to go into higher education, all those different things, the second they're out of school, it's survival mode, you know, because, you know, they're in the streets, or when they go home, it's a broken family. So there's only, you know, one parent, and that parent is the sole, you know, breadwinner. So they're working three or four jobs. So they're not even home till, you know, late at night, you know what I mean? So these children are fending for themselves, you know? So they really need more programs that kind of provide not only a safe haven, but somewhere that they can be productive.
Be creative, you know, and expressive.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, and music is, I mean,
great.
You see how the music is driving the youth, you know, nowadays, you know what I mean? So, you know, they want to be able to, you know, express themselves, you know, or at least to have the opportunity to kind of give it a shot, you know?
Sure.
And,
so you built a facility? It.
Yeah. We partnered with an organization called Motivational Edge. And, we came up with our game plan, and we worked hard, and we raised the funding, and, and we got it done, and it opened, last week.
What? No way. Congrats, man.
It's called the Ari Foundation Alapata Music and Literacy Center.
That's awesome. Where is it in Miami?
It's an area called Alapata.
Alapata.
So like Northwest 33rd Street. So it's
all
it's,
I know
it's
is South
inner
Beach.
City.
So how far from there?
It's about 20 minutes from South Beach.
Okay, cool.
Kind of over the bridge. You know what I mean? And I implore people to really, really explore, because Miami is so much more. I mean, South Beach is awesome.
I'm not a fan of Miami because that's the only place I've been, and it's
No, there's so much more to Miami. It's so much culture, you know, little Haiti, little Havana.
Yeah, I got to check it out next time.
There's so much there, you know what I mean? So explore it all, you know?
Okay, cool.
But,
awesome.
That's one. But do you think of something else?
No, that's
pretty
awesome.
All kinds
right
of great things that's gone on in my life,
of
you know?
Of course. No. And the reason I ask you that question openly is because, like, I'm not saying what are you most grateful for in your business. It's like, what are you most grateful for?
No, in my life, that's it. And that's... It's a dream come true, man. You know,
that's cool.
I literally, you know, sat down and said, man, we actually had a place, you know, and they can come and it's there.
Amazing.
And there's equipment. You can go
in
there.
Pictures online?
Yeah, absolutely.
We'll post them on the show notes on the,
okay,
the podcast.
Okay, great. Great. Yeah. It's, everything. So it's arifoundation.org.
Okay.
As the website. It's, arifoundation on Facebook, arifoundation, fb.com/arifoundation.
Sweet.
Instagram, arifoundation, all that stuff.
We'll link everything.
Check it
up.
Out.
We'll make it all up
That'd be great. That'd be great.
And final question. Before I ask you the final question, I wanted to acknowledge you for the amazing energy that you have and the positive the positive force that you are in the world.
I appreciate that, man.
You know, everything I've from the moment I saw you at Summit Series to the videos and, you know, the exchanges with Ben.
Yeah, man.
About what you're up to.
You're just
up to so many amazing, inspiring, positive things.
That's very cool.
And it doesn't matter what profession anyone's in, but that you're in the space where a lot of negative things could happen late at night.
Yeah, man. And I see it.
I just want to really acknowledge you for the gift that you are in the world.
Appreciate
and the smiles.
Thanks,
and the joy you bring to everyone.
Thanks
for
I will
for
share
that,
that same sentiment with you,
I appreciate
man.
It, man.
Seriously,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
You're really, really doing your thing, man. And
thank you.
You are blessed with a certain personality and a certain energy that really just kind of brings that out of other folks. You know what I mean? I felt a certain sense of just discomfort just kind of sitting here and hanging with you, man. I was like, I get it. I was like, Lewis is that guy. He's that guy.
I appreciate it. Yeah, thank you.
I get it, man. I see what you mean, Ben.
Well, thank you for that. The final question, it's what I ask all my guests at the end, is what's your definition of greatness?
Ooh. Truthfully, I would say... I mean, greatness could be so many different shapes, forms, sizes, you know. But really, and this is something that I apply to myself, you know, it's greatness is living the life you want to live. Okay? This applies on so many different levels, right? The one thing that bothers me most is to see individuals in situations that they don't want to be in. That's causing them strife, that's causing them misery. And what they're not understanding getting is that the person that has the power to change that is in the mirror.
Mm-hmm.
It's you.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so many individuals do make that choice to say, hey, you know what?
Yeah.
I'm going to live the life that I want to live. I'm going to, you know, do the things that make me happy, right? And that's going to lead to greatness, because if you're doing something that you're passionate about and you're doing something that makes you happy, you want to do it. You want to do it at a high level, right? Matter of fact, if you don't do it at a high level, you won't be happy.
Right.
You see what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's what leads to greatness. Have you ever seen anybody be absolutely great at something that they hate? And then they're miserable at? Yeah. You know what I mean? I don't know. Maybe it exists, but I haven't seen it recently. You know what I mean? But that is greatness. Mm. You know what I mean? And it's a decision. You know, a lot of people just feel like whatever, you know, that's what life dished up. So that's what it's got to be. It doesn't have to be that. You know, what's got to be is what you say it's got to be. You see what I mean? Because anybody, if you take two people and you juxtapose them and you have one person that is living the life that's making them happy and they're experiencing greatness on whatever level, because it's not about money or social status, whatever. It's just about, hey, this is what I want to do.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
That's it. Period. That's it. Whatever level it is. And you juxtapose that person with the person that is doing something that they just hate doing and their life is just all kinds of terrible stuff is going on. The only difference between them, it's not aptitude. It's not that one's smarter than the other and one has, you know, it's that one wanted this for themselves and the other doesn't believe, right?
Wow.
They don't believe that they can create that for themselves and they don't take those steps and they don't take that ownership of their lives and say, hey, I am going to create this and I'm not going to stop until I get there. You know what I mean?
Sure.
But that, and no matter if it's a long journey or a short journey, that window is the greatness. You understand what I'm saying?
I love it.
That's that window of greatness because you've now taken control of your life. You've now taken control of your destiny and you are going to create something that makes you happy. You're creating your own bliss. If that's not greatness, I don't know what is. You know what I mean?
Right.
And it doesn't matter how you know, socially impactful it is, because it's not about anybody else but you.
Sure.
But you. If you want to work at that ice cream parlor because, you know what, you just love being around ice cream. That is your thing, you know? And you're selling shoes. Going through what it takes to make that decision to get to that ice cream parlor is greatness.
Yeah.
Because now you've gone from being not so happy to being happy. You're around ice cream. You know what I'm saying? You're around ice cream. It's not about anybody else. You've changed your life. And the fact that you've changed your life and now you're a happier person, guess what? Other people around you will be happier.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And you can be a more positive influence because that happiness is contagious, man. You know what I mean? Like, how'd you get so happy? Man, I started selling ice cream. What? You know? You know? I mean, that's cool, man. But
I love it.
Just, you know, taking charge of your life, man. Doing what you want to do.
I love it. Thank you for the definition.
You're
welcome, DJ Iree, you are the man. I appreciate you coming on. Hopefully, we'll have you back sometime when you got another big event or something,
man,
you want to promote. We'll bring you back on and celebrate your life and what you're creating.
Hey, man, I'm just happy to be here, man. This has been a blessing, man. Great conversation, man.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate it, man.
Thanks.
There you have it, guys. I hope you enjoyed this awesome interview with DJ Iree. And again, make sure to follow him online everywhere. Check him out if you get a chance in Vegas some night to see him at his residency there. Or if you're in Miami, check him out at a Miami Heat game. And you're going to get all the show notes to where to find him over at lewishouse.com/99. lewishouse.com/99. If you enjoyed this interview, if what DJ Iree said spoke to you, or you connected with him in any way, then please share this online over on Twitter, on Facebook with your friends, and let people know about this inspiring interview. I feel like everyone could benefit from hearing his story and his message. So please share this online. Again, lewishouse.com/99 for all the show notes. I'm so appreciative. We are one episode away from 100. Very pumped about this milestone. If you guys have not listened to a couple of previous episodes, Krista Tippett from On Being was an extraordinary interview that we have. I'm getting so much great feedback from this online. People are just in shock of the answers in the interview that she gave. And then, you know, we've had some incredible guests before. Make sure to check those out. We've also got some awesome guests coming up, so stay tuned. I'm so pumped for you guys. We're almost at 100, and we've got 100 more in the next round. So thank you guys so much for all you do to support the School of Greatness podcast. please leave us a review over on iTunes if you have yet to leave one. And you know what time it is. It's time to go out there and do something great.